Summer is in the air. So are the bugs. They're also on the ground and in the trees, sometimes in your hair, everywhere else. But when bugs get in your ears, the results can be wonderful. That is Flight of the Bumblebee by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. Turns out many classical composers have been inspired by insects and other creepy crawlies. I'm joined now by Morning Edition's classical music commentator, doubling today as our musical entomologist, Miles Hoffman. Hi, Miles.
Hello, Rachel.
Okay, bugs as musical inspiration, really?
Well, I don't think bugs are quite up there with love and death as a source of inspiration. But the insect theme, if we may call it that, has been around for centuries, for a long time. With a little searching on the internet, I found the other day a bee's madrigal, for example, by a composer and bee expert in England named Charles Butler, writing in the 1620s.
Wow.
And in 1505, the French composer Josquin des Prez published a song called El Grillo, the cricket. And it's probably still Josquin's most famous song.
Beautiful.
Isn't it great? Yeah. That's El Grillo, the cricket. The cricket is a good singer. That's what the words mean. It's a song for four voices by the French composer Josquin des Prez, and it was written over 500 years ago.
All right. So that's probably as good as I've ever heard a cricket sound. any other musicians get some inspiration from that little creature?
Not a lot, Rachel. The Josquin song from 1505, and then in about 1765, the German Baroque composer Georg Philipp Telemann wrote a cricket symphony. But after that, it was mainly hard times for crickets. I'd say that the musical stars, insect-wise, in classical music have probably been the bees and the butterflies. If nothing else, bees buzz.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah, and composers have enjoyed the challenge of using instruments to imitate buzzing.
Lovely.
That's the French violinist Alexis Galperin playing a piece called The Bee by the 19th century German composer who went by the French name François Schubert. Now, actually, the English composer Ralph Vaughan Williams wrote incidental music to the Aristophanes play The Wasps, but wasps aren't bees.
Right.
So we might be accused of cheating if we play that.
Don't want to insult the wasps.
No.
Okay, so it makes sense that bees would be a source of inspiration because they so clearly make a sound. Butterflies, though, don't make a sound. And they also have been a source of musical creativity.
Yeah. I think with butterflies, composers have been inspired more by the visual images, the beauty of the butterfly itself, its fragility, the beauty of its movements as it flies. It seems to leap weightlessly from flower to flower. And here's a little piece by the Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg, inspired, I think, by the lovely movements of the butterfly. It's called Butterfly. That's Butterfly by Edvard Grieg, and it's played by Sviatoslav Richter. There are a bunch of butterfly pieces. Franz Schubert wrote a song called The Butterfly, or Der Schmetterling in German, in which the words are supposedly sung by the butterfly itself. Claude Debussy and Ernest Chausson, the two French composers, both set the same poem, Les Papillons, The Butterflies, in which the lover sings that if he could borrow the wings of a butterfly, he wouldn't stop to kiss a single rose, but would fly straight to his beloved, the flower of his soul, alight on her half-closed lips, and die.
Mm. All right. We've got crickets. We've got butterflies. We've got bees. What else you got? Other bugs that have been immortalized in classical music?
Yes. Béla Bartók, the Hungarian composer, wrote a cute little piano piece called From the Diary of a Fly, that describes a fly trying to escape from a spider's web.
Oh, no. What happens?
Well, that's not clear, actually.
Oh, no.
But the diary survives at any rate. In 1912, the French composer Albert Roussel wrote an entire ballet called The Spider's Feast. And it features a predatory spider, fruitworms, sneaky fruitworms, a delicate but doomed mayfly, dung beetles, praying mantises in mortal combat, and the death of the spider by stealth mantis attack.
Wow. Yeah.
That was the...
That's the sound of battling mantises, I've ever heard it.
That's exactly what it was. The duel of the praying mantises from The Spider's Feast by Albert Roussel.
All right. So, one last shot. You got any more creatures?
Would you be interested in something called The Song of the Flea?
It doesn't sound so
Say
lovely.
Yes, obviously.
I would love to hear The Song of the Flea.
Okay. Well, there are actually two versions of The Song of the Flea.
I'd love to hear it twice.
No, you're not going to hear it twice. One is by Beethoven, one's by Modest Mussorgsky, the Russian composer. Here's the great American bass Paul Robeson singing the Mussorgsky, The Song of the Flea.
La druga dragova, Бархатный кафтан, плохие кафтан. Ха-ха-ха-ха, плохие кафтан. Ха-ха-ха-ха, плохие кафтан.
So when I conjure the voice of a flea, as I so often do, that is not the voice that comes to my mind.
That comes to my mind. Well, that's not what you'd call a free-range flea. The Russian translation of Goethe's Faust, and it's Mephistopheles singing about a king who dresses up a flea in fancy clothes and gives him the run of the palace. That's the flea's story there.
All right, Miles, thank you as always.
Thank you, Rachel.
Miles Hoffman is the founder and violist of the American Chamber Players and the distinguished visiting professor of chamber music at the Schwab School of Music in Columbus, Georgia.